As we continue to read carefully through Matthew's Gospel, looking at all that Jesus said and did, we're taking note of who Jesus is, his character, and the actions that flow from that. We note too that Jesus is teaching disciples. Disciples who will continue to demonstrate the kingdom of God is among us until that day when Jesus returns. Then every eye will see, and every knee will bow before him as king. In this incident, Matthew concerns himself not only with Christology, that's to answer the questions, who is Christ and what is the significance of what Jesus did, but also with the faith required of disciples. Ultimately, that's you and me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, that it is a guide to the path of those who diligently seek to live in its light. We thank you for the help you have given us in the person of the Holy Spirit, so that we might become those disciples of Jesus whose faith grows when we step out in obedience to it. May our lives reflect that of Jesus in our character and our actions, so that others too will witness to the reality of your kingdom, the only kingdom that is advancing each day towards the day of Christ's return. And may we know, whether in the solitary places or those storms of life, your presence with us. Amen. Before the events we read about in Matthew today, Jesus, hearing of the death of his cousin John the Baptist, had tried unsuccessfully to get away from the crowds to a quiet place. Instead, a large crowd pursued him. The climax of the story came in the multiplication of 5 loaves and 2 fishes to more than satisfy the hunger of 5,000 men, plus women and children. In this feeding of the crowd, Jesus demonstrates that he is far greater than any magician of his day. He was not competing with the David Blaine or Derren Brown equivalent, apparently healing a few individuals and turning stones into bread. At the very least, he was like Moses, through whom God provided bread and meat, or Elisha, who fed 100 men with 20 barley loaves and had leftovers. The ultimate point of this miracle was to point to Jesus himself as the bread of heaven. The point was not mainly that Jesus gives bread to satisfy our stomachs, but that he is bread to satisfy our souls. At last, having dismissed both the crowd and his disciples, Jesus is able to go to higher ground to be alone to pray. For most of us, being alone is something we can imagine, but actually getting alone to be in God's presence, this is probably the most difficult. It's not meant to be a rule, a prerequisite of life in Christ, but an essential delight of being in God's presence as his dearly beloved child. A being together which reinvigorates whether words are spoken by us or not. Like the peace that comes in the closeness of a father holding his newborn baby as they fix their gaze on one another. As a child of God, being alone, as Jesus was here in verse 23, is one, if not probably the most energizing encounter we may have. But of course, we have to learn who we are in Christ before we can recognize this aloneness is not simply an abandonment by our fellows, but such a life-giving grace in which we may encounter our Heavenly Father. It's in the early hours of the morning that Jesus leaves the place of solitude to catch up with his disciples. By then, they're set against the direction of the wind and some way off land, buffeted by waves. Now, in this retelling, Matthew takes Jesus' role to another level, that reserved for God alone. We read in Job 9:8, that he, that is God, alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Or in Psalm 77, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. Verse 25. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." My guess is, still rowing at 3 o'clock in the morning, the disciples must have been pretty exhausted. No doubt it is this state of exhaustion that ideas about ghosts or disquieted spirits causes fear to rise within them, such that they cried out in fear. And Jesus' response is not to rebuke, but to encourage and identify himself to them. "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." These three little words, "I am here," or literally, "I am," are the name of God. Matthew points to the divinity of Jesus. But Peter's response is one we've heard before in the story. "Lord, is it really you?" We heard it from Satan in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. "If it's really you, turn these stones into bread." And we heard it from the mockers at the cross. "If it's really you, save yourself." Although walking on water is Peter's idea, Jesus invites him to come. The rebuke Peter received was not for just suggesting that he walk on water, but that in the presence of Jesus, he should lack faith. Jesus' teaching was not simply so that the disciples could regurgitate the facts, but an expectation that they would always have faith to demonstrate God's authority in practice. Peter's failure came when he looked at the obvious physical things around him, the wind and the waves. He began walking, trusting in the one he had seen do so many wonders, who called him to come. He failed when he turned to look at the natural circumstances he found himself in, rather than in God's power that was sustaining him as he stepped out. But once the disciples know it is Jesus, once he and Peter are in the boat, fear is gone. The calmed sea reflects their calmed hearts, and their response is to worship Jesus, the Son of God. Had you noticed that Jesus doesn't speak to the storm, but immediately it is stilled, responding to the authority of Jesus? But why is Matthew recalling this incident here? Maybe it has something to do with the events of the preceding day, the feeding of the 5,000. When you serve Jesus and you give and give and give until you think you can give no more, Jesus will take care of you, always be enough for you. If you pour out your life to give bread to the world, Jesus will be your all-satisfying bread. The more you satisfy others, the more Jesus will be your satisfaction. The more you give life to others, the more Jesus will be life to you. So here is a picture of the disciples in the dark, in a storm, bereft of Jesus, right after a miracle whose point was, in John's retelling, "I am the bread of heaven, and if you feed on me, you will live forever." But now their life is imperiled, not by hunger, but because a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. This time, Jesus doesn't give them bread to feed the crowd. He gives them the miracle of his presence when they thought there was no way he could be there. Matthew's storyline shows us the disciples' faith progressively developing and invites us to explore deeper realms of faith in our day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Matthew's gospel, which tells us about the divinity of Jesus and the faith required of disciples. We thank you for the help you have given us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So our faith grows when we step out in obedience to it. Guide our steps that we may diligently seek to live in the light, reflecting the character of Jesus. May we witness to the reality of your kingdom, the only kingdom that is advancing each day towards the day of Christ's return. And may we know your presence with us, both in the solitary places and in the storms of the world. Amen.